Heavenly Father, we lift these prayers up to you and your Son Jesus' name. Amen. So I did want to add one thing before I start officially. I wanted to say thank you for everybody for your kind words about me getting licensed. It's really the first step of many. It is due to all of you and my experience here at West Willow that I have said every little reluctant baby step I've taken has been amazing. And so I am more eager and more anxious to follow God's plan for me. I did want to single out one person in particular. Her name is Kimberly, sitting in the front. As many of you know, I did not grow up in church. And so when Kim and I got married, she said, hey, I had a wonderful experience in church. I want us to be a church family. And I was smart enough to go with her and say, yeah, I agree with that. So thank you for believing in God and believing in Jesus and believing in me way before I did. So thank her. On to the sermon. There was a little fella named Junior who would hang out at the local grocery store. The manager at the store didn't know what Junior's problem was, but the boys liked to tease him. They would say that he was two bricks short of a load, or a couple fries short of a Happy Meal. To prove it, sometimes the boys would offer Junior a choice between a dime and a nickel. He always took the nickel, they said, because he thought it was bigger. One day after Junior grabbed the nickel, the store manager got him off to one side and said, Junior, those boys are making fun of you. They think you don't know that a dime is worth more than a nickel. Are you grabbing the nickel because it's bigger or what? Junior said, no, sir. You see, if I took the dime, they'd quit doing it and wouldn't come back. So, welcome to week 5 of our Quitter series. This is our final sermon. In this season of Lent, we're looking at those things that we should quit, and we're using the symbolism of rain to symbolize God's grace, and we're using the symbolism of umbrellas to represent those things in our life that might shield us or get in the way of God's grace. So it's things that we want to quit. And here are the things that we've been encouraged to quit so far. The news. Specifically, information in the news channel that is intentionally presented to us in ways that create and grow fear within us. Quit that. The second is possessions. We talked about how sometimes being separated from God will create negative feelings within us, depression, sadness, worry, and fear. And many of us, instead of fixing the core problem, which is separation from God and working on trying to get closer to Him, many of us will try to mask those feelings by buying stuff. So quit that. On the third week, we talked about food and going without food and giving up food, and which in the church is known as fasting. In the world, it's known as dieting. We talked about being willing to be inconvenienced for God. Often, maybe all the time, when we are trying to follow God's plan for us and for Him, it will never be convenient. It's always going to be while we're doing something else that God calls us to do His work. So fasting is a way to practice being uncomfortable. It's practice being inconvenient. So give up food. Quit food for just a while. We talked about last week this magnificent, unbelievable treasure that God has given us in the form of our brains. We have the ability to think and to create and to worship. And yet, how many of us, like the prodigal son that we talked about last week, how many of us squander this treasure worrying about what other people think? So we're going to quit that too. Which brings us to today. Quitting fear. By the way, if you missed any of these sermons, we have them all online. So you can go to our website and hit Sermon Archives, and you can listen to any of them. Or if they were just so good, you want to listen to them again, you can do that. So quitting fear. We save the best for last. And if these things that we're talking about represent umbrellas that get in our way, then fear would be like a giant canopy that's 6 inches thick. It would be the kind of canopy or tent where they have the sides that roll down, the plastic rolls down and blocks the wind. It would be blocking even the barest hint of a breeze of the Holy Spirit trying to come in and work with us. And yet, the worst part of this canopy, this super umbrella, if you will, is it's invisible. Most of us don't even realize that it's there. How in the world do you quit fear? Some would say that's impossible, right? Ah, but nothing is impossible with our God. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. So to begin how to understand quitting fear, let's go to our scripture today. And we're looking at Jesus' return to Jerusalem. This story is included in all four of the Gospels, but this morning I want to take a look at the book of Mark. And here's a question that I want to ask all of you. And you might consider it an unusual question, even coming from me. Here it is. Was Jesus afraid as he entered Jerusalem? In other words, did he have fear? Now, to some, that might be a ridiculous question. Of course he wasn't afraid. He's God. He is God. He isn't afraid of anything, which is a reasonable thought. However, we cannot forget that Jesus was fully human. And he experienced all the frailties of being human. One of the foundational beliefs of Christianity, one that is awe-inspiring and humbling, is that God came down to earth as a human to not only suffer for us, but with us. And if you take that away, you take away one of the most profound yet beautiful aspects of God. So think about it for a moment. Creator of the universe, the Almighty, the All-Knowing, the Alpha and the Omega, came down to earth as a human to suffer. Why? Why would he do that? There's one answer. Because he loves us. Because he loves us. So it's not an entirely crazy question. Was Jesus afraid as he entered Jerusalem? Add to Jesus' humanness the foreshadowing that's taken place all throughout his ministry. The disciples, specifically James and John, say, "Hey, Jesus, we want to sit beside you on your throne in heaven. What do you think? Can you make that happen?" And Jesus says, "Boys, you have no idea what you're asking. You have no idea what I'm about to go through." Jesus references many times his body being broken. And then there's the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is literally sweating drops of blood. And it's not the physical torture that's the worst. It's the spiritual torture, the separation from God. Think about this for a moment. When you love someone, and you've been with them, they've been in your life for a long time, when they leave and go away, you feel brokenhearted, right? Right? We've all felt that to some extent. Imagine what Jesus was going to feel. He has been with God for all time. He has experienced the love of his Father always. There was never a time where they were apart. And yet Jesus knows this is coming, a separation. At the time when Jesus will take on the sin of the world, all the sin, for all the world, for all time, he will be apart from his heavenly Father. It's an entirely rational question. Was Jesus afraid? Did he have fear? And I'll give you three reasons why I think the answer is no. And they're going to help us quit fear as well. So let me give this answer to you the same way that I try to answer all of our questions in a sermon, and that is through Scripture. There's three specific lines of Scripture that will help us this morning, and they all work together. The first is 2 Timothy 1:7, where the Bible says, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear and timidity, but a spirit of love, of power, of self-control." Now, this is directed at us. Actually, it was Paul who was writing this to Timothy to lift him up. But if we were made in God's image, then we can assume that God does not have a spirit of fear either, even in human form. So that's one reason to say no. Jesus did not have fear entering Jerusalem, even though we could understand if he did. He did not have fear because he was the perfect man. He was the perfect human, and God did not give any of us a spirit of fear. Amen? Let's try that again. He did not have fear because he was the perfect man, he was the perfect human, and God did not give any of us a spirit of fear. Amen? Amen. Okay. Come on, I'm licensed now. Work with me. The second scripture that supports an answer of no is 1 John 4:18, which says, "There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." Perfect love drives out fear. If you've ever wondered what perfect love looks like, look at Jesus. He was the definition of perfect love. And perfect love drives out fear. So that's the second verse of Scripture that supports an answer of no. The third Scripture is John 15:13. "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." And that was the reason that Jesus came to earth, to lay down his life for us, whom he calls friends. So when we put all of that together, we can answer the question of, was Jesus afraid as he entered Jerusalem? No, he was not, because God did not give him a spirit of fear, but of love. And perfect love casts out fear. And Jesus was perfect love. And the ultimate example of love, the greatest example of love, is to lay down one's life for one's friends, which is what Jesus was going to Jerusalem to do. Now, what does that have to do with us quitting fear? That's a great question. I'm glad you asked. Quite simple. On this Palm Sunday, as we remember and celebrate Jesus' return to Jerusalem, we are on this journey as well. We are with Jesus. Verse 11 in Mark chapter 11 says, "Jesus and his disciples reached Bethpage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives if we consider ourselves to be disciples of Jesus, then as he enters the city of Jerusalem, we are there with him. We are entering the city of Jerusalem. And as Jesus is picturing the trials that are about to come for him, I want you all to picture something that causes you fear. Something that you're afraid of. It might be uncertainty of the future. It might be fear of losing a loved one. It might be fear of pain or sickness. Whatever it is, as Jesus looks towards the cross, I want you to look at that fear and say to yourself, God did not give me a spirit of fear and timidity, but one of power and love and self-control. The first step in quitting fear is taking that verse literally, believing that it's true. Now, that's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I have said that verse over 1,000 times in my head. And here's what I found. I can say that verse over and over again. God did not give me a spirit of fear, but of love. God did not give me a spirit of fear, but of love. And yet, there is still fear inside me. It doesn't go away, which is frustrating. God, I know you did not give me a spirit of fear, but of love, but I am still afraid. I still have fear. Sometimes just believing God's truth isn't enough. We have to do more. Okay. How do we do that? What is more? Let's look at the second scripture. Perfect love casts out fear. Okay. If I believe that in my core nature, my spirit is one of love and not of fear, but I'm experiencing fear, I need to cast it out. Perfect love casts out fear. Make sense? We have to take action. Let's keep walking with Jesus as he is looking towards the cross, and you and I are looking at what we're afraid of what causes us fear. What else do we see? We see the crowds. We see the crowds that have lined the road as Jesus is coming in, and they're shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, long live the King. Yet, they're shouting for a different reason. They think Jesus is coming to topple the government. He's going to kick the Roman government out, and he's going to become their earthly king. So they're excited. They have been oppressed. But that's not why Jesus came. He came to set us free from sin. He came to set us free from brokenness. He came to set us free from fear. Which brings me to our third scripture. No greater love than this, to lay down your life for your friends. So now what do we have? Remember our goal, to quit fear. We know our true nature, one of love, not of fear, 2 Timothy 1:7. We know that if we are not experiencing our true nature, then action is needed. We need to cast out fear, 1 John 4:18. And how do we cast out fear? By doing the greatest act of love we can, which is laying down our lives for our friends. Are you with me so far? About three of you are. If you're a little bit confused at this point, that's okay. If you say, I kind of get where you're going with this, Pastor Bob, but do I need to die for my friends? I mean, there are a couple of friends that I have that are good friends, but they're not like best friends. Did I need to die for them? I mean, even my best friend, Betty Sue, who I've known all my life, and I would do anything for her. Well, Betty Sue gets to talking, and she just talks and talks and talks, and, you know, that gets a little annoying. Do I have to die for her? And if I'm going to die for her, how exactly should I do? Are we talking literally or figuratively? Like die-die or pretend-die? Can you explain this death to me? If that's your question, it's a very good question. I would say, though, you are looking at the wrong friend. Because I have a friend that I would gladly die for. And my friend walks with me, and my friend talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. And when I am afraid at night, he protects me. And when I am sad, he comforts me. And when I am excited and happy, he laughs with me. And when I have joy, he shares my joy and he multiplies it. And my friend has a name, and his name is Jesus. Aha! Finally. How do we quit fear? We lay down our lives at the base of the cross. No greater love. God, you did not give me a spirit of fear, but of love. And if there is fear in my heart, I will cast it out by laying down my life for your son, Jesus. That is how you quit fear. Amen. So, as we close, what does this look like? What does this look like? I'll tell you one of my fears. As a father, as a parent, my fear is that I will not be able to protect my children from heartache, from sickness, from betrayal, from sadness. So I've got to look that fear straight on, and it's real. It's very real. I've got to look that fear straight on and say, God, you did not give me a spirit of fear, but of love. So I'm going to cast out any fear I have in me, because perfect love casts out fear. And I'm going to lay down my fear at the base of the cross. Now, this is important. What I just said was not correct. You might be tempted to do that. I said, I'm going to lay down my fear at the base of the cross. That's not what 1 John 4:18 says. Lay down your fear. It says there is no greater love than to lay down your life. And here's why I think this is important. Fear has a way of penetrating our entire lives. It's like a weed with the root system that gets into everything. So to quit fear, we need to give God everything. Our entire lives. Here you go, God, the good, the bad, the ugly. So it looks like this. God, I've got fear in my life. I've got fear in my heart. I'm afraid of getting old. I'm afraid of not being able to take care of my spouse. I'm afraid for my children. God, I have fear about this world. Everybody's getting angrier and hate is growing stronger. But I remember, God, what you told me. You told me you did not give me a spirit of fear, but one of love. And perfect love casts out fear. And so I am going to lay down my life for you at the foot of the cross. Here it is. I'm not holding anything back. And when we do this, we will feel God's grace raining down on us. And I don't know about you, but I want to feel God's grace raining down. It looks like this. God, I'm in my late 30s and I'm not married yet. And I'm afraid I'm going to spend my entire life alone. But I know, God, what you told me. And I'm going to lay down my life for you. And I will feel your grace raining down on me. It looks like this. God, the doctors told me I have an incurable disease. And I'm afraid of pain and suffering. I'm afraid that I'm not going to see my children and my grandchildren grow up. But I know what you told me, God, that you have given me a spirit of love. And I'm going to lay down my life for you, for Jesus. And I will feel your grace raining down on me. God, I have an addiction. I am giving it to you. God, I have depression. I am giving it to you. God, I have worry. I have doubts. I have fear. And I will give it to you. And I will feel your grace raining down on me. I will feel your mercy pouring out of the sky on me. I will feel your love and your forgiveness and your joy washing over me. And I give it all to you, my God, my Savior, my friend. In Jesus' name, amen.